Good afternoon. It's 2:00. I'd like to call the meeting to order. It's Elk Rapids Township meeting, June 2nd. Pledge allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good afternoon. I want to thank everyone for coming out. We're going to have public comment, which will be comment only, 3 minutes per person. We're going to start out with that, and then we'll follow up with discussion with the engineers and the attorneys and the board. So anybody that has public comment, if they would get up and state their address and name, we'd appreciate it. And you feel free to make public comment.
Marshall Wright, 7228 Birch Lake Road. I'm speaking for myself here, not for the association. I think the three questions that I just handed to Shelley that I'll read are the same questions you are wrestling with. And so we're in the same boat, but these are things that I'm concerned hearing about how to handle. If the Elk Rapids Township Board decides to proceed with the findings of Matt Zimmerman as presented at the May 26th meeting, I have the following questions. First, what will be the disposition of the existing DPW inventory of grinder, pumps, panels, and floats? Secondly, what arrangements will you make with DPW to continue repairs and replacement of the property owner's pumps for payment by the property owners? And third, what mention of financial equity will you establish for the property owners that have the older systems versus the property owners that have the new three-phase systems? Thank you.
Thanks, Woody.
I'm Carolyn Klausmeyer, and I live at 6638 Birchwood Drive. And I just have one comment. I was talking this over with a lawyer friend of mine, and he seemed to feel that there's something that's not quite right in the fact that some, approximately, as if I understand correctly, 20 people have received replacements of their pumps free, and the rest have to now stand on their own, that somehow that equity either they should pay back so that we're all even. Steven had, that was my comment. Okay.
Thank you.
Bill Romska, 6459 Timberlake. I'm the president of the Timberlake Association, and the two questions that were asked at our meeting last week were, are you planning on certifying replacement people for the DPW if they are not going to maintain our system? In other words, would you conduct training and certify, like K&K, for instance? And also, were you planning on providing a certified parts list that we could use so we don't get bogus parts and end up blowing half the system up or something? So thank you.
Thank you. And we are going to address that a little later on with our engineers. So thanks for the thoughts.
Hi, Paul Moyer. I'm at 14413 Birch Point Drive. I asked this at the last meeting, and the questions I have, I think, is, you know, does the board have an obligation or is there intent to answer the questions that are asked at these previous meetings, whether it's the board meetings, the April, May board meetings, and these special meetings?
Yes, we have been answering them as we've been able to get answers.
And how do you respond to that? Do you post it outside? Do you post it on the website? Is somebody collecting these questions so you know you're answering them fully?
We had a meeting a week ago where we tried to answer all the questions there.
Okay, but there's been some questions been asked at previous meetings, the April and May regular meeting and the last special board meetings, that I don't think have yet to be answered. I sent these to the board via an email. There's an outstanding request from the April board meeting to reestablish the Birch Lake Sewer Commission or something like it, to collaborate on option analysis, processes needed for short, medium, long-term execution, make non-binding recommendations to the board. At last Friday's meeting, it was asked that if the decision is made that pumps, grinders, and stations are the property of and responsibility of individual owners, can an arrangement be made for the village to continue to do work on pumps and grinder stations on some sort of fees basis? It was requested of the board to delay any decision until after the Birch Lake Association meeting on July 1st, which is less than a month away, just to ensure higher engagement and collaboration with the residents. There was a request for a legal opinion on the legal validity of the Gosling-Zubik document. The board was asked for a response to the financial analysis and recommendations that were submitted by Woody Wright on behalf of the Birch Lake Association. A whole host of questions on Maple Harbor. What's the process being used to work through the costs Maple Harbor will bear on the shared lines, and how Maple Harbor and Birch Lake reserve funds will be determined and managed? How will the Maple Harbor project pay for their use of sewer mains in which Birch Lake residents have invested? And what's the timeline to get us those details? So there's a lot more questions that have been asked. These are just some that I've put formally in writing to you. So is there a presentation later today that goes through all the questions that you're all going to address?
Yes.
And all these questions will get addressed?
Yes.
And we'll have access to that?
Yes.
Okay. And the questions that are asked today, when will we get responses on those?
I guess we'll have to talk about it as a board meeting. It right now as a board, probably during our discussion.
But I think per policy that it's 5 business days to respond, is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
And do you believe that you're in compliance?
I believe so, yes.
All these questions I've asked have not been answered, and some came from April. So it's long.
I'm sorry, Dorrance. I'm not aware of any 5-day response. You're not being deposed. A FOIA request requires a response. These questions that are being raised here, I know you've indicated that you'll try your best, you know, with everybody here to address those, but you're under no obligation to answer questions raised at a meeting within 5 business days.
Okay, thank you.
Have you read the policy?
A policy is a policy, and I know the board strives to meet its policies, but that's different than saying or implying that that's some sort of legal obligation.
So what?
These are copies of that policy manual.
I'm not sure I understand. Are you obligated to answer in 5 days or not, per the policy?
A policy does not have the same force and effect as a statute or a regulation.
So when you said you are in compliance, you're actually not in compliance with the policy?
We are here today, and this is, I don't have the policy in front of me, but as Dorrance indicated, part of the reason of having this meeting is to address the questions that were raised both last week and today.
Your answers be in writing?
It's being recorded.
Anything that I give you today is part of the record.
Will you pass out an answer?
So the response was you believe you are in compliance with the 5-day response policy?
I believe we're in compliance with our duties as a board, and we've been trying to answer all these questions at will, and we have more discussion today about these answers to these questions.
Okay, I look forward to the presentation, and again, that'll be available to us all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
I'm John Earhart. My address is 14496 Williams Drive. We purchased our property in 1980, so I remember being involved in part of the discussion among people around the lake as to whether or not they wanted to have the sewer or not. And I was always in favor of having the sewer, but my concern was the type of sewer that was put in, which is basically we have a sewer on our property. We have a tank, we have a grinder, and a pump. We have an electrical system to control all that and push it out into the street. typical, not typical of one that is a gravity feed coming out of your house into the line. So the difference in repairing or taking care of something like that is considerable, as you would well imagine. And I remember going to some of the meetings and talking to township officials, and because I was concerned about how this system was going to work and continue to work over the years, we were told, I was told personally, that we will always take care of the system for you. It's part of our responsibility. And these were township officials in the mid-80s that repeated this to a number of people around the lake. So I think you do bear some responsibility there, and that should be taken into consideration in your deliberations. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Pat Brady, Williams Drive in Elk Rapids. I have a question about the ownership, or a comment about the ownership of the system. I've found the bond documents, and it's the bond between the bond contract between the county and the township. The word ownership is kind of important. The bond agreement between the county and the township says the township owns the system. And the system is described in here, and if people want to get down to asking questions about which parts of the system, there is a financial report from 1987, and it makes it very clear what are the parts of the system, the parts A, B, and C. Part A is the main pipeline. Part B is the main pump station. Part C is the individual grinder stations. It appears from these documents that the township owns the systems, the system, and the system consists of the main pipeline, the main pump station, and the individual grinder stations. You know, if you're going to say we own them, you know, there's an open, clearly it's in black and white that those components were purchased with public money, it's public infrastructure, and the township owns it. So, you know, what's up with that?
Pat, was there a bond council?
Yes, yeah.
Who was it?
Ooh. According to this, Municipal Bond Financial and Marketing Consultants was Stouter, Bark, B-A-R-C-H, and Associates. I mean, this is pretty serious business. This is the bonds.
It's a lawsuit.
So, you know, it's been contested. There was no plan. There was a plan. No fund. There was a fund. Is an issue over ownership, and clearly the township owns the grinder systems. What's up?
Great timing, huh? Sorry about that.
Secondly, I was in Bel Air.
Pat, excuse me.
Go ahead.
You've reached your 3-minute time period.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pat.
Carol Brady, Williams Drive. I think Pat was going to say we were in Bel Air looking for easements. You can find some of them, you can't find others. There's a problem with record keeping. So I think we have a big problem here. And I, as much as I like attorneys, Matt, I'm a fellow attorney, he cannot say who owns the system. It's his opinion. Somebody else might have another opinion. I would suggest maybe we get the DEQ involved here and maybe figure this all out, because obviously there are a lot of issues that need to be dealt with. The other thing, maybe Pat was going to say something about maintenance. There's two types of easements, the permanent sewer easement. We could find some of those, couldn't find others. There's also a maintenance and repair easement that Birch Lake property owners were asked to sign. So they're there somewhere. That's the one Matt was talking about we needed for you to get on our property. The Gosling-Zubek document is important because it was written in 1996, and it was based on documents prior to 96, including the bond issue, the financial statements, and that document indicates that the township owns the grinders because you collected money for them to pay for them. So there are a lot of questions. I'd like to have a neutral party. I don't want to get into, we've been through this before. Not most of you, but Dorrance, Bill Derman, you'll remember. We had a disagreement before regarding property rights on the north end. There were a lot of attorneys that agreed with you guys, and trial court said you were wrong, Court of Appeals said you were wrong, and the Supreme Court wouldn't take it. So as much as I'm sure Matt's very capable, I don't think we can rely on one opinion. Can we get the DEQ to come in here and look at it?
I'm not prepared to answer questions right now. Is that a statement you're making? You want to get the DEQ involved?
Can we get the DEQ in here to look at it? It's a question.
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay. Well, we need to find out from a reliable source. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
Salvatore Castronovo, 6535 Timber Lake Drive. Amos, I sent you an email, and about 5 days is supposed to be a response. I never did get a response in an email. In that email, I questioned a few things. First off, your consultant looked at the sewer and determined that Maple Harbor can get into it. How did they make that determination? The sewer is designed for full development of all the lots around Birch Lake, full development, and it's nowhere near that at this point in time. So if they just went out and measured how much the flow was in those pipes and said, well, Maple Harbor can get in it, that's wrong. That's not right. The next thing is, if Maple Harbor is allowed to get in it, they should pay a price based on the flow that they put in and the flow that Birch Lake residents put in. It should be prorated. They should not go into that sewer free. I can't say I doubt on a professional basis that they can get in there, but someone needs to look at the actual flow that will be in that sewer with all the lots developed. I also mentioned with the reestablishment of the committee from Birch Lake, and I think that should be done. And with regard to the article that was in the paper today that we would have to sign some sort of a agreement to allow the township to go on, every one of us, when we developed, built our homes, had to sign a piece of paper allowing the township to go in and maintain its sewer.
Thank you.
Steve Yensich, 7352 Williams Court. And not to throw any water on anything that's been said previous to me, I just want to share, had the opportunity to have dinner with my older sister, who is a lot older than I am and serves as the institutional memory of the family now. And we both remember my mom and dad paying for the sewer pumps and the grinder and those things. So just one family's experience, that's our recollection. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cal Osterhaven, 14700 Williams Drive. I would urge the board to move slowly and cautiously here because it is a huge quagmire in my mind. And I would urge this body to seriously consider appointing an advisory committee made up of members of the association or members of the Birch Lake, or have the association appoint a couple members, and maybe a member from here, a member from DPW. I remember when I came on Birch Lake, I paid, I believe, an $85 or $8,900 hookup fee that had gone up from maybe $4,500. There had been interest that had been building. And I came here in, I believe, 98, 99. And I remember, and I didn't recall this until today, I recall signing an easement, granting whoever permission to come on the property. If there isn't an easement, we should draw up a blanket one and continue the status quo here. So the city's not trespassing, coming on in the interim. And I would also suggest, if this is going to take some weeks, some months on an interim basis, kick up the fee or whatever. I had the benefit last summer of having a new pump and grinder put in. They told me at the time that it was optional. They said, your panel has been fried. You want a new pump? I said, well, I don't know. I said, is there any cost to me? No, you're going to need one eventually. And I said, you know, go for it. And they told me that specifically that I didn't need one at the time. And eventually, all the other people are going to need a new pump. And, you know, maybe we ought to continue the present arrangement till everyone has a new pump. And then maybe transfer ownership to the homeowners or whatever, if we can do it legally. If there isn't an easement and they've been trespassing, as Mr. Zimmerman indicates, and they don't have any authority to come on, I did do a little research since the last meeting, and I think estoppel does apply. Where government engages in an affirmative act of an ultra-virus nature, in other words, beyond their authority, which is exactly what they did if they don't have authority to come on here, and there's an unjust, inequitable result, then equity comes into play and estoppel's appropriate. And you might want to do a little research on that, Mr. Zimmerman. I've been involved in estoppel situations from various vantage points over the years, and I can give you examples where estoppel came into play. One example was back in 80, 81, I was in the city attorney's office in Lansing as an attorney, and there was a fire in the 2-300 block of East Michigan one night, and it was these adult bookstores. They had some adult entertainment there, and the mayor at the time of Lansing was a former Navy person, and he didn't have any use for those stores. And he intercepted the fire department on the way, and they stood by and watched these buildings burn. And about four of them went up in flames. And the owners of those buildings sued the city of Lansing in federal court, and we got hung out to dry. And estoppel came into play, that we were estopped from claiming governmental immunity or anything else, all of our affirmative defenses. And they parlayed those hundreds of thousands of dollars into building an empire that still exists today all over the country. And the defendants were Terry Schultes and Harry Mone, and they're still around today, at least the latter individual. But I'm pretty sure that if this body, if this governmental body proceeds here in a hurried fashion, that there's a potential for a can of worms here, and we want to avoid that. We got to work together to somehow unravel this situation, which is unfortunate.
Well, thank you very much for your comments. Is there any more?
John Stewart, 667 Timberlake Drive. I have a concern that doesn't seem to have been addressed so far. It seems from what's been said that nobody can refuse to have their pump fixed right now, except if somebody were to say, well, you're trespassing, you can't come on my property and fix my pump. and that's never happened as near as I can tell. But if it became private ownership, at what would be the possibility that someone could have a broken pump and not get it repaired? Maybe they couldn't afford to have it repaired. Is there a possibility of damage to lake water quality or property values declining, or what regulations would need to be written to force people to have their private pump repaired? So, thank you.
Thank you. Is there any further comments? Okay, we'll move on to, we'll move on to the second part of the agenda. Discussion with the board, performance, and Mr. Zimmerman. Do you want to go through the first five questions first, or do you want to go through your presentation?
Are you referring to the May 28th?
Yes.
email correspondence from Paula Moyer.
Yes.
The first item, I believe, is really a political question that this board needs to address. It's really not a legal question on whether or not the Birch Lake Sewer Commission is reestablished. There is no law or regulation that requires the township to do that. So it has the authority to listen, to set up a commission and to listen to the recommendations that they make, but it's not an obligation. So that's sure. Your discretion to do that or to not do that.
Well, and just talking with the board through this, most of it we felt was driven by rate increases. And at this time we chosen not to start up another sewer commission, but the board had, we talked about if they need to have a commission to work on certain projects of their own, they're certainly welcome to come in and visit with our representatives in the office. But at this time we felt that there was things that had to be moved on quickly and some changes, and also it was basically rate driven, and since we're trying to keep the rate the same, we just didn't feel that there was a position there for us at that time. And anyone else that has an opinion other than that, I mean, certainly speak up. And on number two, if we want to go to the point of the village to continue doing work, I'd spoke with Brad and also made a phone call to Bill Cooper this week. And it appears, and they've agreed, they're working out some details to take over the facilities and operate them as they have been if they're called to do repairs. There'll be a situation where they'll have to figure out some of their insurance issues, and they were working on that, and they felt they would be in position. Well, I'm sure they're in position now. They said they were good to go forward. Number three, to pull over until July 1 for their board meeting. We felt that the board meeting, they will be able to explain what has been going on. If there's any further questions, they can go forward with that. But in a financial responsibility and also management responsibility due to our findings, we decided we needed to move on, and probably sooner. Number four, the Gosling and Zubek. Matt, I'm going to let you take that one.
So the question in the email messages says there was a request for a legal opinion on the legal validity of the Gosling and Zubek document from 1996, and I know that was raised this afternoon as well. The Gosling and Zubek report was discussed in part last week. The question about legal validity is somewhat confusing. I think there needs to be an understanding of what this report was done for and what it actually is. It's an engineering study. Gosling Zubek's an engineering firm. And it was done pursuant to regulations to establish a system by which the people that are benefited by the sewer project pay all of the costs of that sewer system. Now, one of the regulations under the Clean Water Act that set up the obligation for the village to do that contains a provision that reads, if the project, and this is the larger sewer system, including the village's wastewater treatment plant, so if the project accepts wastewater from other municipalities, and that would be the village accepting wastewater from the township here, then the subscribers receiving waste treatment services, that's you all, from the grantee, shall adopt user charge systems in accordance with this section. These user charge systems shall also be incorporated in appropriate municipal legislative enactments or other appropriate authority of all municipalities contributing waste to the treatment works. So what that says in English is the village had an obligation to set up a system of rates to make sure that all the costs that they incur on their wastewater treatment plant and on their collection system get paid. If they accept waste from another municipality, then that municipality has an obligation to set up a system of rates to make sure that the waste collected and distributed in that system is paid by the users of that system. So the Gazing-Zubek document was done on behalf of the village to fulfill an obligation the village had. It in and of itself is not a legal document from the standpoint of having the force and effect of a statute or a regulation. The village had to adopt a rate ordinance based on the recommendations that Gazing-Zubek provided them. Now the township fulfilled this obligation by adopting its own rate ordinance and by having a service agreement with the village to take care of operation and maintenance obligations. And in those documents, from which I quoted at length at the meeting a week ago, make it very clear, in my opinion, that the grinder pumps and the laterals and tanks and panels are private property and are the responsibility of the individual property owners for maintenance. So I think that addresses the question on the Gazing-Zubek report.
Bill, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I do not.
How about Aaron?
I don't have anything to add to that either.
Okay. Board, do you have any questions on that one? And then the last one, response on a financial analysis by Woody Wright on the Birch Lake Association as far as Maple Harbor. At this point, we felt that Maple Harbor is not even a project yet. At the point it becomes a project, we will have engineering to evaluate it, and we'll evaluate from the legal side and take input, but we will evaluate it when the time presents itself. But as of today, it is not a project. So we didn't feel it was applicable today. Any other questions that the board wants answered or wants to discuss? Then I think if we're not hearing any, we will go into, would you like to open up, Aaron, with your, whichever one wants to go first, go ahead.
Sure, we'll go ahead. We were asked at the last meeting to develop specifications for what would be appropriate replacement pumps, and this kind of hinged around the idea of going, transitioning back to single phase versus the current program of three phase. And so we have done that. We've prepared some specifications for the Birch Lake sewer area. And the main point of the specifications is to ensure compatibility between what gets installed and the use of the sewer system. We basically envision three possible scenarios in this specification. The first would be somebody going and replacing their grinder pump and their panel as one package. And that specification, we have provided a pump and model number and then a panel and model number that would be compatible with the rest of the system in terms of flow and discharge and competing pumps and all that. The other scenario would be somebody that would replace just their pump and try to reuse their existing panel. We did a little more research into what the existing panels look like now, and we found that you can use that same pump, but you have to have an external capacitor because the existing panels have capacitors in them. So you would get the pump, and then you would get a retrofit capacitor kit that you would replace in your panel, and then you could continue to use your panel with just a new pump. And then obviously the third scenario is continuing on with a three-phase pump and panel replacement, which would be similar to what's going on now. And in that scenario, it's just like the DPW is doing for you today. The specifications also include a reference to an alternate. So if somebody had reason to do something besides, you know, we picked a specific pump, manufacturer, model number, specific panel, and a retrofit kit. If you have reason to do an alternate manufacturer or something, that's allowed in here. We would just request that you submit pump curb data and specifications to be evaluated to make sure it's consistent with everything else that's going on there. And then we did take this a step further, and Brad tracked down pricing and availability for this proposed replacement single phase option. And we've included a quote from Aetna Supply, who's in Traverse City. And they are willing to give the Birch Lake Association kind of a locked in pricing as association and a guarantee of stock. If you guys approach them as an association and say, we're gonna get our pumps from you, they'll keep a couple on the shelf for you and guarantee pricing for everybody. If you wanna handle that as an association, the contact information is available for them. But the pricing would be for a pump and a capacitor retrofit kit, so you replace the pump only, it'd be $1,595.
Say it again.
It'd be $1,595 for a pump replacement only with the retrofit capacitor. If you want a pump and panel package, it would be $2,300. Plus you'd have whatever install cost you had. And we'll have this information available for you.
Do you have anything further?
I do not.
Okay. Matt?
Referring to questions that were raised at today's meeting, the ones that I see that the board might want some legal input on, a number of them really are political issues for the board to address. For example, what to do with the inventory of pumps and panels, what to do on an equity basis with owners that have received pumps and panels recently and versus those that either haven't or haven't for a long time. One comment that was made that I think you should get some legal input on, and Bill can chime in as well, but there was a comment about township officials in the past having told the individual who made this comment that the customers, ratepayers, property owners around the lake would always be taken care of by the township. My legal input on that is that if those statements were made, and I'm not suggesting that they weren't, I obviously wasn't there, that would not be binding on this board. A board back in the 1980s or, you know, even last year can't bind future boards on questions of policy or on legal matters unless there are some exceptions to that. Purchases with payments on long term where the board signs a contract. There are other exceptions, but I don't believe there would be any in that instance. There was a comment made about the county financing documents, the 1987 financial document and the descriptions of the sewer. I do not believe that those are dispositive on the question of who owns the grinder pumps. To the extent I haven't seen those documents, be happy to take a look at them. But in my experience with bond documents of this sort, especially with counties that are financing under Act 185, those documents are intended to determine the ownership from the perspective of the county not being the owner, or in a system like this where there are two municipalities involved, that the nature of the township portion versus the village portion, and an emphasis that the county is not taking ownership of any of it. In addition, I guess I have a question for the board. Those bonds that are referenced, I'm assuming those have been paid off by now? And if that's the case, then those documents would have absolutely no impact on the system today. They would have perhaps some validity during the time that the bonds were outstanding. There was a question about getting the DEQ involved in determining ownership of the grinder pumps and those other parts of the building sewer. And I can just tell you from my experience, the DEQ will not do that. It's not in their mandate, it's not in their charge. They don't have the personnel, they don't have the budget, and they view that as a private matter. And I've seen this in very similar circumstances. They view this as a private matter. We'll tell everybody here that we've got to figure it out on our own. So I don't believe that that's an option. There is reference to some reports and analysis that involves connection fees from Maple Harbor, and I think that you may have addressed that already, but Maple Harbor doesn't exist. There isn't a district, there isn't a legal document establishing a special assessment district. That doesn't exist, and so there's no basis for the board to factor in at this point anything from Maple Harbor because it may not ever materialize. So that's my comment on that point. And I believe those are the points. I guess the last point that Mr. Oosterhaven made on estoppel, I would simply say if the township had acted in an ultra-virus manner, then it can't continue to operate on an ultra-virus manner. It, by definition, if it doesn't have the authority to do something, it can't by estoppel be made to then continue to do something that it doesn't have authority to do. So I don't believe that is a valid legal point that the board should consider.
Okay. Anything further, Matt?
I'm happy to address other questions that the board may have, but those were the ones that were brought up today and in correspondence since last Friday that I think needed some legal input.
Okay. Thank you. Board, do you have any discussion or questions for Matt or Aaron?
Yeah, do we have any record? A number of citizens are saying that they did sign a maintenance lease type agreement. Do we have record of that? I think that's what I heard. I'm sorry if I'm not hearing you correctly.
It may be something with the village, DPW, but
there's a fairly substantial booklet of easements that we've gone through, and there are easements for the trunk line in areas where there's no public right-of-way. And there were some temporary construction easements that were needed to get the system built. But I've not seen any operation and maintenance agreements between the township and individual property owners.
Again, it feels to me like something that should have been done. But during this whole thing, a lot of really confusion, misconception, maybe some wrong direction on the front end. So it isn't surprising that people are feeling like they signed something that would have got them there, but in reality may have not have. So
well, and the other question that's the big grill in the room is the equity. And as I've thought about that and spoke with many of the board members and spoken with our legal and engineering, it's my opinion that due to the rates that we've had, we've been able to provide very reasonable rates over the time period. We've had a service to more than just equipment. We've had service calls. We've had, numerous things have happened out there. I'm not even aware, I'm sure, of most, but the village has taken care of all that. And I know there's no real good answer to how to make this all fair and equal and everything, but I think in the long term, this board has to act prudently on this and make a decision, because I know on the equity side, it may not feel right, it may not seem right, but at the end of the day, everybody's had benefit of the sewer in their location where most likely they wouldn't have been able to build without a sewer or maintain that type of structure. And I think it's one of those things that we just have to kind of try to improve the system and move on and try to maintain what we've got and see if we can't keep it in a position and get it in order as far as our replacement part of it, and also make sure we can deliver the service. And I mean, that's my opinion. I don't know if the board, who else has any other opinions that would like to add to that, feel free. Don't all jump in at once.
Matt, when your presentation on the last meeting, is the township now doing this, is it illegal now that we own the stuff on private property? Is that what that statute?
In my opinion, the township does not own the building sewer.
That's in Michigan statutes, right?
Well.
Or what?
The way your system was set up, the documents that establish your sewer system, in my opinion, make it clear that the public system stops at the trunk line, and that everything from the connection to the trunk line to the source of the wastewater is private. And it's always been that way. So this isn't a change in the way the system was designed or set up. That's the way it was set up. And in my way of thinking, it's not surprising at all. It's consistent that you don't find operation and maintenance agreements between the township and the property owners, because it wasn't set up to have that part of the system be owned by the township. There wouldn't be a need for the township to come on the private property, because that's private property, just like their pumps at their well are private property. There wouldn't be any reason for the township to go on the property to fix a broken well. It's private property.
Aaron, do you have any further questions?
You know, maybe comment. You know, I stated last meeting, you know, if it was me, I would want to own the equipment. I just want to clarify, if I was, you know, the other half of that, if I was faced with doubling my rate, tripling. Well, more so then, you know. I guess I would rather keep my rate the same. So I just want to clarify what I meant at the last meeting. You know, none of this is good, in my opinion. It's a tough situation. But in lieu of those, you know, rate increases to that degree, I would rather own my equipment. And that was what I meant by my comment last meeting. And my question with, you know, are the leases there in maybe a different form than what we're used to seeing? And it doesn't sound like they are. You know, I guess if they were, you know, we're back to, we have a really big problem on a financial side. So if the leases were there, right, we're faced with the other, either owning them or continuing the same at a really high cost. So well, to me, it feels like we're, you know, we're in a tough spot.
Yeah, let me just clarify that the absence of operation and maintenance easements is not the main argument or rationale for the fact that the township doesn't own the systems. As Bill noted just a few minutes ago, the village might have decided that before it came on to do repair and replacement work, that it would require easements from the property owners, and it may have asked for that, but I'm referring to the documents that establish the system. Those documents make it clear, in my opinion, that those building sewers are private, not publicly owned.
Great.
And I think most of the comments we've heard was based around the rates, and obviously going to 141 or 2, whatever the number was not a popular choice, and we did as a board hear that. I mean, it's certainly not put us in a great place either, but we're trying to make the best of it. We've gotten, I believe, very good staff in hand to work on it, and I appreciate the work they've done and been able to do the digging through this whole thing of 30-some years. I guess, Shelley, do you have anything to add or question of Matt or Aaron?
I guess I would just say the same thing that you were saying, is that when we started this, it was all rate-oriented, and we very early on had Michigan Rural Water come in and do a rate analysis for us, and they're the ones that said, you guys got to get on track, and they gave us a couple different scenarios that Mike and I looked at, and Brad with the village, and it was $150 a month, and that was paying for all of that stuff. So at that time we said, no, we've got to figure out how to do this, and we started looking at everything ourselves. So it was all rate oriented, and then we started asking professionals in, you know, I know that if you remember, we said we're going to get our own engineers that will service the township, not the village and their system, and that's what we started with. And we started getting our own professionals in and giving them the information they needed, and this is where it led for us. So, you know, your option was pay a really high price and have us continue to do it, but in actuality, that's not the legal way to do it, and turn the equipment over to the people. I know you're arguing some of that points, but I don't know what else your other solution would be. So I feel confident in listening to the people that we have asked.
Thanks, Shelley. Now we have to rely on the professional people we bring in to look at this and certainly follow the law. Bill, do you have anything to add?
I think it's been well said. You know, I don't have anything other than repeating what everybody else has said.
I guess what I'm going to ask Matt is, right now, Matt, we know what your recommendation is. We would like to ask you again, what would that recommendation be today, given any of the new information?
The recommendation would be to establish a policy to just make it clear, unequivocal, that the township is not going to use the public sewer system funds, the equipment replacement fund, for use on either repair or replacement of grinder pumps, panels, laterals, or tanks. Those are all part of the building system, which is private property, and that the trade-off for that is that the rates can stay the same. The rates can stay as they are now, at least through the end of this fiscal year, and then the township board will do as it has in the past. If costs go up, if revenue goes down, and it's faced with a situation where it has to change the rates, it would do that at a public meeting and would have a discussion about what the options are. You know, performance could do an analysis of some options, but the trade-off, at least now, would be to keep the rates where they are, based on the work that performance has already done to show that through this fiscal year, without using system funds to repair and replace grinder pumps and panels, that it can start taking money received from the village and start building up that equipment replacement fund this year without raising the rates.
Okay, thank you. Aaron, what's your position? I know you've stated last time, but we'd like to hear it as a board again.
Yeah, I'm still consistent with my previous recommendation, which is you should, focus on taking care of what's clearly the township's infrastructure, which is the stuff in the right-of-way, in the road, and use what would be about 53% of the existing rate structure that's going to the service the private stuff and reallocate that towards maintaining the township's infrastructure and building up a reserve fund.
Does anybody have any questions of either one of them at this point? Or Bill, do you have any other comments that you'd like to add?
I do not.
Board?
I guess I've got a question on if we implement that plan, when, you know, when does it take effect? When does, you know, what do citizens do day one? If that starts X, what happens the next day? If they go home, their sirens going off?
At this point, the village is in place to take over as is. They've agreed to move forward to any calls and go on as normal, but also it would open up the opportunity to bring in private service as well. As we've heard Aaron speak to, they could have other options as well. If each individual chose to go a different direction, that's optional.
Yeah, I guess you hit the important part. There's a plan in place right now to service somebody.
Like I said, Bill Cooper was on vacation this week and we spoke on the phone. And we spoke with Brad, as Bill gave him the authority to make the decisions. And Brad said it'd be business as normal. Same phone numbers, same type of situation.
Can I make a motion?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to read this so it's correct. Whereas the Township of Elk Rapids owns and operates a sanitary sewer system comprised of a collection system around Birch Lake, a lift station, and an interceptor trunk link running from Birch Lake collection system to the Village Elk Rapids wastewater treatment plant. And whereas the Township of Elk Rapids adopted a sewer use ordinance that requires certain property owners to connect their establishment used for human occupancy to the township sewer at their expense. And whereas the Township of Elk Rapids sewer ordinance provides that responsibility for all costs and expenses incidental to the installation and connection and future maintenance of the customer's building sewers shall be the property owners. And whereas the Township of Elk Rapids, pursuant to its sewer use ordinance, has adopted sewer rates intended to provide sufficient revenue to cover all the expenses of an operating sanitary sewer system, including funding and equipment replacement fund. And whereas the Township of Elk Rapids has been unable to build a sufficient equipment replacement fund, which is necessary for the future replacement of the collection system, lift station, and interceptor trunk pipeline as a result of using money from the equipment replacement fund to replace Birch Lake customers' grinder pumps and panels previously perceived to be part of the public system. And whereas the Township of Elk Rapids engineers and council have presented the Township of Elk Rapids board with various options for addressing the problem of not having a sufficient equipment replacement fund and the potential for operating at a deficit in the next year. And whereas following meeting with the Township Sewer System customers and receipt of communications from such customers, it appears that the majority of Township Sewer System customers oppose a sewer rate increase high enough to build a sufficient equipment replacement fund. Now therefore, be it resolved that the policy of the Township of Elk Rapids concerning the operation of the Township Sewer System shall include the following. Point one, grinder pumps, panels, and sewer laterals and any related equipment comprising building sewers are private property, the repair and the replacement of which will be the responsibility of the property owners. The township will not use equipment replacement fund money to repair or replace such equipment. Second point, the Township of Elk Rapids Sewer System customers replacing their grinder pumps and or panels must replace them with equipment that meets the technical specifications attached to this resolution and made part thereof. That would be Mr. Performance Engineering's statute or comment. Number three, the Township of Elk Rapids Sewer System customers who repair or replace their grinder pumps and or panels must hire qualified contractors, including, but not limited to, the Village of Elk Rapids DPW, and four, the Township of Elk Rapids Sewer System Rate and Benefit Schedule is as follows. Operation of maintenance, $15 per customer. Repair and replacement is $19.10. Administration fee is $2. This gets adjusted by the village at, every year at 10 cents. And the wastewater treatment debt is $16.30. That brings the total rate to $52.40. And the last point is the Township of Elk Rapids will reevaluate these rates every February to be effective in April.
Okay, do we have any discussion?
You need a second before you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And just to clarify, that's a resolution, not?
Yes.
Okay.
I will second the motion. Now, do we have discussion? Aaron, do you have anything to add?
No, I think I've said what I wanted to say. It's a tough thing.
Mike?
Oh, well, of course, I was only been here since June of 07. So like I said, I don't know what happened in the prior years and from the prior board members. But I think we have to listen to Matt and Aaron.
Okay. Shelley?
Same thing. New board member, find things out doesn't mean we have to carry on. If we find something is wrong, we need to address it and try to take care of it.
Okay. Any last comments from engineering or legal?
None.
Nope.
No.
Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Roll call. Eisenhart?
Yes.
Szymanski?
Yes.
Amos?
Yes.
Boisbert, yes. And Dick Holtz is absent. I can read this after.
Sure. Yeah. Motion carries.
I will read an email that I received from Mr. Holtz. Shelley and board members, due to a previous family commitment, I'm unable to attend the June 2nd special board meeting. I have the following comments. After reviewing information provided by Performance Engineering and Attorney Matt Zimmerman, I support any resolution that will return Elk Rapids Township to compliance with the original sewer district document for Birch Lake. This, in turn, will allow the board to reduce the project increase needed to maintain and repair the township-owned components of the existing system.
Okay. Is there any further discussion? Meeting's adjourned. Thank you.